Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me in the studio is Ahmad Banat, who is a Palestinian farmer and freelance cameraman and photographer. He has filmed for TV channels such as Al Jazeera, Israeli channels 1, 2, and 10, and Palestinian television. He's also worked with Reuters on several occasions and filmed footage for the documentaries Berlin, My Love, Palestine's Kids, Open Close, and Interrupted Streams. And also in the studio is Guy Davidi, who was born in Jaffa, Israel. He's a documentary filmmaker and cinema teacher. He's been directing, editing, and shooting films since the age of 16. And as a cameraman, he shot the films Hamza and Journal d'une Orange for France 3. Davidi also directed many short documentaries such as In Working Progress, Keywords, and Women Defying Barriers, which were presented in film festivals and venues worldwide. In 2010, Guy Davidi's first feature film, Interrupted Streams, premiered to great acclaim at the Jerusalem International Film Festival. And recently, he's launched a campaign to bring his Academy Award-nominated feature documentary, Five Broken Cameras, to Israeli youth. And I take it you also want to get your film screened on Israeli television. And I imagine if you win the Academy Award, it'll give it a boost, but was that going to guarantee it?
The film was co-produced with Channel 8, so it was already shown in Israeli television in a documentary channel. But my biggest wish from the Oscar would be to put it on a broadcast channel, meaning one of the main two channels in Israel, and that would be amazing politically, historically, and for the film. So yeah, that's one of the achievement that I hope to get from the Oscars.
Well, for me, as a sort of objective observer, since I'm here in the United States, although obviously in the United States there's a fairly strong pro-Israel bias in terms of sympathy, nevertheless, I was so shocked by the film. I was really disturbed by it. And it felt to me like I was seeing for the first time a whole other side of this story that we've heard for so long about this plucky, brave little country under siege from all of these crazy Arabs who want to kill everybody. And it's so much different. The shoe is very much on the other foot. The Israelis are the victimizers and the Palestinians are the victims.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories that, especially here in the U.S., that the media is not really reporting and concentrating mainly on the violence movement and violence resistance, while there is in Palestine for many years a very strong, impressive nonviolent movement, and they are joined by international and Israeli activists, and this is not well reported in the media, and it was mediatized a little bit in Berlin. I think that was what was the big success of this village, that it managed with a lot of creativeness to bring more media, to create more media attention, but it's still something that needs to be developed.
And Ahmad Banat, you're a farmer turned filmmaker. That's an unusual journey. And you have documented the life in your village, and the film is incredibly powerful because you start out, in 2005 with your first of five cameras, all of which ended up being broken or shot or whatever throughout the course of the film. Your children, your four boys, the youngest is very young at the time. But you look across at the Israeli encroaching settlements, this wall of big high-rise settlements, and you really do feel the encroachment as the film progresses. Your land is being taken away from you, and your life is being so impacted, and your friends throughout the film are shot, killed, but you still stick to this nonviolent approach. So I guess my first question is, how long can you maintain your nonviolent approach given the violence that's meted out against you and your fellow villagers?
You know, we've been through this so long time since my childhood. I've been through this situation, and I live many different experience. So it seems like the situation is getting worse and worse. And I decided myself to take the camera and to film and to document and to be part of the struggle in my village as one who lived there this is my life and this is my place. So I have to do something. So it was my responsibility to film and to protect people with my camera and to show the footage for the world. I am talking about my life, about my family life, about my friends, about my village. And it's very unique story. It's not just a political issue. I didn't want to focus in more on the political issue because there's were many films made about the subject, about the wall, about Palestine, but most of these films made by people who come from outside, and they never feel the same feeling, and they didn't live the reality, the experience. So I live there. I was born there, and my son born there also, and he was growing in this situation. So I wanted to show the story, and I wanted to make the story and the film from my personal perspective, and to show the people how the life is, how the reality is. It's a very simple how we live there. And how's the situation? Because people just get news and they just get information about political issues or violence, or they didn't really know the real situation in Palestine.
So, Guy Davidi, how did you come to meet Ahmad, and how did this project evolve? Because what's powerful about it is just sitting here opposite you two, an Israeli and a Palestinian, who collaborated to make this extraordinary film. Ahmad is not alone in his struggle. There are international peace activists and Israeli peace activists that sort of show up occasionally at these demonstrations, which seem to go on all the time. That seems to be the impression you get. Just as the buildings encroach from with the settlers and moving forward, you know, on you all the time throughout this film, you're also experienced just this endless battle and the incredibly creative way that the Palestinians engage in nonviolent struggle against what seems to be an overwhelmingly powerful adversary.
Yeah, I was from 2003, I discovered first time the West Bank and what's happening there in person when I joined the Israeli activists going to different villages to show support, to participate in demonstration. And it's a small movement, but I think we met I met at least a lot of stories and a lot of sad stories and inspiring people where, regardless to all the suffering that they've experienced, they are choosing every day to collaborate. It's a very bad word, but it's a true, honest kind of collaboration in order to resist the occupation. So I had a lot of encounters like that. And in 2005, when the movement got to Berlin, I joined. I went to Berlin quite early, and I was impressed by the hospitality of the people and by the communication that we developed with people like Ahmad. And since I'm a filmmaker, I started doing short films, and then I ended up doing this film, Interrupted Streams, that dealt with the water, the politics of the water. And I chose this subject, which is a transparent element of the occupation, because I felt the nonviolent movement was actually quite mediatized, and there were a lot of cameramen that were filming that. And so I didn't think that I have a place there. So I chose a subject that allowed me to go more into a private life of people and family life. And through this film, I stayed in Berlin for a few months. And through the period of time that I worked on that film, I discovered a lot of things that later on helped to shape Five Broken Cameras as well. But then I met Ahmad, and he was a very important figure in the movement, because he was the only cameraman that was part of the village and not just visiting and not passing a time like I passed, but all the time he was there filming. So he was very important, and he was encouraged by a lot of other activists and filmmakers to continue on working. So I think it was natural that after he saw a lot of films that were released about the subject, most notably Berlin My Love in 2006 by Israeli filmmaker Shai Carmeli Polak, who is a friend of us. And I think he felt he wanted to tell his story, and so he continued on to film. And after a few years, in 2009, he approached me to offer me to do this, to do a film about the nonviolent movement. And actually, as an Israeli, I wasn't sure how it will be to work with the Palestinian, because I mean, it's his story and it's his village, and why should I be there involved in that? So Actually, I thought that if he would be in the center of the film, and his voice would be the voice who tells the film, and it will be a much more personal film. Politically, it will be much more interesting for me because I will be there to empower his voice, to give him more space, and which is professionally a very tough position because you have to put yourself in always in a modest way and always to give him the space. But I felt that this is what the story needed, and it's his life work after all. He filmed throughout these years, not me. So that's a good decision that we had. And that's the type of relation that we had. So it's not a balanced Israeli-Palestinian film or a balanced Israeli-Palestinian filmmaker. It's a story, it's a Palestinian story, it's his story, and I'm there to help him to raise his voice.
Again, I'm speaking with the filmmakers of the Academy Award-nominated documentary Five Broken Cameras, Ahmad Bernat, a Palestinian farmer and freelance cameraman, and Guy Davidi, who is an Israeli filmmaker. And Ahmad, throughout the film, your friends, Efil the elephant, one of the great characters, he's shot by the Israelis, which is shocking. And another friend of yours, or I think a relative, is as he's being arrested and put into the paddy wagon, a soldier a couple of feet away just casually shoots him in the leg with his rifle. So the film shows a kind of callousness, which really shocked me on the part of the Israeli soldiers. And many of your friends, including Efil, I think before he's killed, he's shouting out to the Israeli soldiers, "You just shot an Israeli girl, you know, captain, you know," and then suddenly he's dead. So what I found powerful was the appeals by your friends and villagers right up in the faces of the Israeli soldiers, asking them about their humanity. From your point of view, has that ever worked? Have you ever sensed that the people that are doing this to you on a daily basis and to your villages and your Palestinian extended family, is it getting to them? Is it affecting them? Because just me as a viewer, I was deeply affected by it.
I think, as you said before, it's a story, it's a film about the humanity more than political. So it's a story about the life and the village and the friends. And so everything was related to me, and everything affected me, affected my friends, what happens in the village. And I think if we talk about the humanity, it's very difficult to kill somebody or to in the same time to feel that humanity. So if you have humanity inside, you never do wrong things, or you never do kill people. So it's different when you see the soldiers, and when you see the soldiers how they use violence or how they kill your friend. It's very difficult, but I never felt that humanity from soldiers. They just shot and they use violence and they don't care about what's gonna happen. So it's very difficult. I didn't want to tell, you know, to show the film as a political film. I wanted to show it from humanity and from the daily life and the reality, how the people live there. And it's about friends, about family, about life in small village. And to follow the characters for a long time, for 7 years, and to follow my son Jibril, this is the idea was since the beginning. So to make a film like this, humanity, about personal perspective, about daily life. And so Adib was arrested and Phil was killed, and they were related to me. We were friends, very close friends, but I never knew that Phil gonna be killed. So I was filming him, following him for years and for to make this film. But I was shocked when he got killed, as everybody in the village. It's not easy to see your friend died, or to see another your friend got arrested, or your son growing up in this situation and facing the soldiers.
Well, Guy Davidi, it struck me at the time that in many ways it sort of felt to me, just in a political historical context, a bit like the civil rights struggles here in the United States in the South, in the sense that you had nonviolent protesters, African Americans, protesting against Southern sheriffs, if you will. And the idea that you could kill a black American and get away with it was so much a part of that struggle. And to bring a kind of legality to the situation. Your film is not, obviously, that is not an accurate analogy to compare it to the civil rights struggles, because there's still a legal context. The courts are still involved in a land dispute that Ahmad and his other Palestinians have brought into the Israeli courts. When he's wounded, he goes to an Israeli hospital where they save his life. But on the other hand, you know, the idea that the military, who may, you know, some of them may not find what they're doing particularly, you know, the kind of duties that you expect in the military. You're supposed to defend your country, not beat the hell out of civilians. But at the end of the day, the idea that they can shoot people with impunity really, I found troubling. And I'm just trying to figure out who's in charge here in this thing. You've got settlers who seem to be free to be able to mete out violence. You've got the courts that seem to be trying to restrain things and there seems to be some rule of law. But on the other hand, you have these extrajudicial killings that are going on apparently regularly.
It's a very complicated issue, because it's true that there is organization behind things that are happening. So, of course, that you see some kind of decision, for instance, to raise violence in certain area or certain period of time, as I think we're experiencing right now at the moment. In the West Bank, we see there were a lot of killings lately, and you see there are in different locations, different killings, and then at the same time, you read in the media that there is preparation for intifada, which is not what's happening on the surface. So you see that there is kind of a politics that comes maybe from the government, maybe from the military. It's not very clear. But after that, also, there is also a lot of chaos in this. And there's a lot of freedom of you can behave whatever you want and you're not going to be accused. So even if it doesn't serve anything logical, any interest or anything, you're still going to see a lot of eruptions of violence and casual violence and chaos just because people are allowed to do whatever they want and they're not going to be punished. So, you know, so they release all their shadows out. And then everyone who has violence urges or have hatred in him, he can express that the way he wants, and he won't be charged with anything, and he won't suffer consequences for that. But if you're a soldier and you're trying to restrain your soldiers, then you might be charged with your commander that will tell you, no, you have to do your job, you have to charge right now, or you have to shoot. So these are the extremists that have more freedom to act the way they want, less than the more moderate soldiers that are maybe not comfortable with that position, of course.
Well, let's take a brief station break, and we'll continue the conversation after a moment with Ahmad Banat and Guy Davidi.
Time and time and time we see these acts against humanity. Well, each for each and each world leader shed blood for what they each believe. On and on and on we go. Well, some will you see, some won't be. Truth for you and truth will lead you to a sense of heart. Well, now.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us again to continue the conversation are the filmmakers of the Academy Award nominated feature documentary Five Broken Cameras, Ahmad Banat, who is a Palestinian farmer and freelance cameraman. He's worked for Al Jazeera, Israeli channels 1, 2, and 10, and Palestinian television as well. And Guy Davidi, who is an Israeli documentary filmmaker and cinema teacher. And he has made a number of films, including shot the films Hamza and Journal d'une Orange for France 3, and he has directed a feature film, Interrupted Streams, which premiered to great acclaim at the Jerusalem International Film Festival. And he is also involved in a campaign to bring the documentary feature he's made with Ahmad, Five Broken Cameras, to Israeli youth. And just starting with you, Ahmad, it's just been announced today by the White House that President Obama will visit Palestine, Israel, and Jordan within the next month or so. When I saw your film, I thought to myself, I wish the President of the United States saw this film. I really do. What are the chances of getting this film to him?
You know, many people ask me what you are going to what you want. What you want to buy this film? Who want you to want to watch the film? So I tell them always, I want everybody to watch the film. All the people, the normal people, and the politician, and the famous people, and I want also the president to watch the film. I want the film inside the White House to be there, so for the people in the White House, Obama and the politician people to watch this film. So important that people like Obama or politician people watch this film and know more about the life, about the Palestinian life, to get more about reality. And I know that they just get about political things and political issues, and they didn't get to know about the real life of our life, the Palestinian life, how our kids grow up there, how the situation affected them, and how the people live there in their daily life, every day. So it's very important for me to show the film everywhere, even for the President Obama or in Israel, to the Israeli government. And I hope that makes sense for them and make change.
And Guy Davidi, the film, you're making it available on DVDs at Netflix, iTunes, Hulu, Amazon, Google, and also at other video on demand outlets. So you're trying to get this out to as many people as possible. And you were saying earlier that you still hope to get it shown on a major Israeli television venue. And you're trying to also get it into the Israeli schools. What happens when you see this film is, as I say, a whole kind of window opens to another narrative, which we're not really getting over here. We're getting a narrative that doesn't really explain. I mean, in many ways, you can argue that the Palestinian-Israeli struggle is a struggle of one group of victims against another group of victims. And who is the greatest victim who has
suffered the most?
There you go. And in this case, we don't really understand until we see this film about the daily life of Palestinian people. And what is remarkable about it is that they still maintain a nonviolent posture. Of course, there's been violence in the past and in the recent past. And you're hanging by a thread there, and you're left thinking, how long can this go on? How long can they keep restraining themselves?
For me, the force of the film is the tone of it, the tone and the narration, the fact that you see all things that he might experienced in his life and the villagers of the West Bank experience, all this suffering. But never for a second, he says, you did this to me, or accuses the soldiers, or complain about this. You know, this is what happened to me. Just have a look at that, experience what I have experienced, and that's it. So we're not wallowing in these emotions of the suffering. And I think this is a very refreshing presentation of harsh reality, because it inspires you. You look at suffering and it's not used as an instrument. It's, you know, this is what I've experienced. I'm not going to use it as a tool. You know, just experience with that. And I think this is this allows a lot of viewers to get away from this game of who's more victim, and suddenly to be inspired of the people, and then it creates passion in you to create change in reality. So for me, I also like Imad. For me, the film is, you know, is for general audience, for anyone who wants to watch it. Also, if you're not interested about the subject at all, it's just a very good emotional journey that kind of teaches you something about life and about how to deal with suffering. So for me, this was what I had in my head when I was in Belin and when I met Imad. But of course, there's for anyone, there is kind of a special audience. And for me, the special audience were the Israeli youth, because these are the kids. I imagine myself when I was 16 or 15 or 17, I didn't know anything about what's happening. And I was supposed to be enrolled in the military, like these boys are supposed to go to military. And I imagine, you know, these boys, they have to know where they're going to be posted, what they're going to do. And this is the time for them to create change, because once they're in the military, they're entering to this this brainwashing machine in which you cannot get away, and it's too late for them. And it was almost too late for me. So for me, this is the most ideal audience for Five Broken Cameras. And by the way, it's the most difficult audience to access. I always said it's easier to get into the Oscars than to put the film in Israeli schools, because Israel, they have no problem in showing the film and being proud of it when it's shown abroad in festivals or getting to the Oscars or even in Israeli television. But try to get to the educational system, and there you find the doors are closing. So you have to really, you know, and maybe the Oscars will be our way to get in.
Well, but from the American point of view, it seems to me that here in the United States, we have a special responsibility to educate ourselves about this situation, because almost every day in the newspaper, there's a headline about Israel and to a lesser extent, Palestine. There's no question that Israeli politics weigh heavily on Washington. We just had recent hearings for the new Secretary of Defense, who was beaten up because he was perhaps not sufficiently pro-Israel. And the dialogue was so absurdly pro-Israel, it was embarrassing. And Israel is still the biggest recipient of U.S. aid, even though it's a very successful and wealthy country. So Israel dominates so much of our media and so much of our political attention, but we get nothing back from it, in the sense that nothing changes. You have a peace process, but you don't have peace. You know, it just goes on endlessly. And, you know, a lot of people are just tired of the whole thing. But at the end of the day, what I find so powerful about your new film, Five Broken Cameras, is that it really is the ground truth, and a truth that we're not seeing. So I think there's a special obligation on the part of Americans to pay attention to it, because in many ways, America is the enabler of this political situation that's going nowhere, because it needs adult supervision, surely.
We have talked earlier about also the Jewish community, but not just the Jewish community in the U.S. that is probably mostly very liberal and is not happy with Israeli occupation. But the problem is that there are certain steps that need to be taken that the Jewish community or generally in the States is very difficult to take. For instance, trying to stop U.S. aid for Israel. Look what that's going to happen. Maybe if we're going to do that, maybe the regime will change. Maybe the government will change, will be replaced. Because so as long as America is not willing to go further on, and especially the Jewish community, and we're thinking that this is a good step, this is a positive for Israelis, this is a pro-Israeli step. You know, it's a pro-Palestinian, first of all, but it is pro-Israeli, because occupation is ruining Israel. It's not because economically Israel is good that the country is good. The country is in a very, very bad shape, and that's a result for 45 years of controlling other people. So, you know, so we need this kind of friends to be able to tell us, hey, stop, and not to say it in a delicate way and then to continue on because it's not comfortable, but to say it strictly and taking strong steps to stop the government's actions.
So, Ahmad Banat, there's not a lot of politics in your film, in the sense that you don't talk about, in fact, there's no politics about the Palestinian issue, about the so-called peace process, there's a brief moment where a couple of Palestinian politicians show up. But the impression I got was from the film and from you and your friends that are portrayed in the film that these people are distant from your lives. So in your village, right up next to where the Israelis are moving in and confiscating your land on a daily basis, and you see this encroachment throughout the course of this film that goes from, 2005 to 2011, I think. So give me a sense of, as a Palestinian, how you feel about this so-called process and about Palestinian governance, because recently a bunch of documents were leaked to Al Jazeera that indicated that the Palestinian Authority had really been completely useless in the peace process. And my understanding is a lot of young Palestinians are frustrated with their government, just as throughout the entire Arab Spring, the youth are rising up against these corrupt and distant and ineffectual governments.
Yeah, the Palestinian people are not happy at all about the peace process, because it's been negotiating the peace process for more than 20 years and we get nothing from this. The situation is getting worse. So the politicians have their language to speak and to make a very beautiful speech, and we were joined by a politician in the village, but in the end they have their language to speak, and they have their way to speak, and to sometimes to use some events for political needs, but for me is the reality is more important. What's going on the ground? What's happening? What's the people in the village are doing? What's the struggle? So we've been facing many kind of pressures of occupation and different kinds of pressures, and some pressures of from politician also. So political process, the politician and the peace process is not is not useful for the moment, and we should find a way to get out from this, and to just to give the people a new way to get more about reality and about the life, about what's going on. And it's important for me that the Oscar will draw big attention to the Palestinian issue, and billion people around all the world will be informed about the Palestinian issue, about the life, and I hope that they go and watch the film, and so they can get more about our life. It will be very big success for the Palestinian in this case.
Well, just in closing, Guy Davidi, the film actually makes you angry too. It makes you feel the deep injustice of what's going on. And obviously, Israel is more and more isolated. It's the Europeans have all but given up on Israel. Israel still has tremendous support and sympathy here in the United States. But I think that's starting to slowly change as well. So to that extent, it seems to me that curiously, there's another Israeli film up for the Academy Award too, The Gatekeepers, which is about the Shin Bet officers. And I know you're in competition with it, but in many ways, it feels like this is a moment for, almost these films are companions in a way, that this is a moment for us to get an education about what's going on in Israel and between Israel and the Palestinians from the documentaries, not from our media. I think our media has failed us. I'm not blaming them, and our politicians have failed us. And it seems in a curious way that you filmmakers are the ones that are really opening our eyes.
There are two things to that question. First of all, I think there were many years that films about occupation were produced in Israel by Israelis, speaking about what we're doing to Palestinians, but then speaking about ourselves at the end. So we're using the occupation to speak about the immorality of our society, about the corruptions of our society, about our self-conflict, about whether we should act with violence or not. So we're taking this all, what we're doing to other people, and referring actually to ourselves. And that's exactly what I didn't want to when I joined the project. I said, for once, we're going to work to make a film that I will be there to empower his voice. And the result of the film is, first of all, is a Palestinian story. So it's, of course it is a co-production and there's Israeli and I'm Israeli, of course, but basically it's a Palestinian story. And that is something that, I'm sorry, but there are many films that were done about the subject, but not from that perspective. And that's something that is new. So to get with that perspective, with getting someone from who's from the movement itself, who had the Palestinian story, telling it from within to America, to worldwide audience, that's something I think that is not being done before. So for me, it's historical and it's a big achievement that I'm very proud of.
Well, I thank you both for joining us.
Just let me a moment to clear one thing. It's very important for me. As I want to say, just sometimes the media is make wars. The media is make conflicts, and the media is change the reality. As you said before, the other Israeli film. This film is not Israeli. I want to say it, and I say it always. This is film. This film was born in the village, and this is my story, my village story, and my people's story. So when I propose guy to work together, we work together like a human, like a friend, not to make Israeli Palestinian project or to make
right.
it.
I'm very glad you corrected me on that, because that's a very important correction.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ahmad, for your film. It really got to me. A very, very powerful and a very effective film. Again, Ahmad Bernat's a Palestinian farmer and freelance cameraman, a photographer. His work has appeared in Al Jazeera, Israel Channels 1, 2, and 10, and Palestinian television. And Guy Davidi, who's an Israeli documentary filmmaker and cinema teacher. He's been directing, editing, and shooting films since the age of 16. He's made a number of shorts and documentaries, such as In Working Progress, Keywords, and Women Defying Barriers. His first feature film, Interrupted Streams, premiered to great acclaim at the Jerusalem International Film Festival. And he's now launched a campaign to bring his Academy Award-nominated feature documentary, Five Broken Cameras, which Ahmad Bernat's film, in effect, to Israeli youth. And, of course, it's available now on DVD at Netflix, iTunes, Hulu, Amazon, Google, and video on demand outlets. And it's, again, up for the Academy Awards. I thank you both for joining us here and for bringing this extraordinary film to our attention. And we will all wait with our fingers crossed for the Academy Awards. Thank you. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And the conversation continues at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.